Welcome to our show, pre-show here. And that's no shit, you know, because I just had a meeting yesterday with our partners in crime over at the TV production place. And we'll be busy. This is going to be, you know, this is going to be my main focus, you know, that. Just, you know, because it's going to require a lot. So doing a live show is, with everything that you have to do, you know, is going to be a, you know, I'm clearing the fucking decks, as I said to the guys yesterday. I'm clearing the decks for this television effort. And at some point, I'll let you know more in terms of the details of it. But I don't want to. Now, the official announcement came out yesterday, so I can tell you all officially that I am a recurring actor in the animation series F is for Family, starring Bill Burr, Laura Dern, Justin Long. Justin playing the voice of the teen son, Kevin, as well as I think he's playing Vic. I'm not sure. And Laura Dern is the wife, Sue. And Bill plays him, his father, Frank. And I play, in the most recent episode, the boss. I guess I'm letting in too many, you know, I'm giving you too much information. But I'll just let you know that I do a variety of characters on the show, as I did on Napoleon Dynamite and on King of the Hill. So that was, you know, I mean, that was kind of beautiful, you know, just the fact that I was able to do that, you know. I'm going to try something today. I don't know how well it's going to work. Hi, Phil. How are you? Jesus, 1-2-1-2-1-2. Well, this all started, Phil, this started, I got to turn this up so I can see. All right, let's go over now to Richie Gertner. Let's go over now to Richie Weber, Richie Harper, Richie Brown. Let's go now to Richie Agavia. Richie, how's it going?
Real good, Phil. Great to be with you.
And
so we're doing Skype, is that right?
We're doing Skype. I think you're... Ah, see, that's no good, man. You know.
Well, I think being here on Skype is... Well, being here on Skype is great.
The only way to do it is have him live in studio. Richie, we're going to talk to Richie Agavia. We're talking here with Richie Agua Caliente, Canada defined after deadly terrorist attack. Oh, God. Point blank range, that kid was shot. That's that young soldier. Handsome young chap from Hamilton, Ontario, which is where we were last summer, briefly, very briefly, because my cousin Fran's husband, Jim, is from Hamilton. They call it Steel Town because back in the day, Hamilton was a big steel. It was like the Pittsburgh of of Canada. And in many ways, the football team in Hamilton, wearing the black and the gold, Hamilton Tiger Cats, were the sort of the, not the Pittsburgh Steelers of Canada, because they weren't as good, but were certainly embraced by the local fan base as, you know, big time their team. So, you know, it's a interesting city and worthy of the interest and the great many accolades that its natives oftentimes will. I don't know how many people in Canada per se are big Hamilton fans, you know, but it's kind of an interesting thing, you know, when you talk to people. I was watching a thing up there, and it was the Canadian Football League's Grey Cup week. And so during the week ahead of the Grey Cup, there's a lot of shit that goes on. There's a parade. There's a number of different parties that they have in the host city. There's kind of like, I guess, Super Bowl week is here, only at a more intimate and smaller scale. And a lot of fan interaction that happens. The players go in and out of different pubs and shit, and we'll meet with fans. And I was watching one of the one of the Hamilton Tiger Cat veterans, a guy that had played for the Tiger Cats back in the 60s, Angelo Mosca. The guy was a big defensive end, and I think he was American by birth, but had played his entire career in Canada, and was interested in, as he walked around this party, interested in who was from Hamilton. You know, so the thinking being that if you're a Hamilton fan, you had to be from Hamilton. If you're here in America, if you're a 49er fan, if you're a Bronco fan, if you're a Packer fan, you don't necessarily ask the people, well, do you come from Denver? Are you from San Francisco? Are you from Green Bay? We have national fans who have no real, you know, there's no geographic loyalty there. They just happen to be fans of the team. But up in Canada, it's pretty much a neighborhood thing. And this guy Musk was talking about that. I don't know if it's apropos of anything other than the fact that that's the way it is in Canada. And so when I heard that this kid was from Hamilton, I started thinking about Jim. And we were in that neighborhood. We didn't go into Hamilton, but we kind of were near it. Port Ryerse is to the south and to the west of Hamilton, which is where my cousin Paul lives. And then Fran and Jim live in, I think they live in a Brantford, but I don't know whether that's considered a suburb of Hamilton or not. There you go, man. That's the extent of my Canadian information here. Canada being in the news as much as it is. These two guys that do these Sonic commercials, I like them. I don't know why they should irritate me, but they don't. I like them a lot. The two guys on the Sonic commercials crack me up, especially the redheaded guy, the other guy, the guy to the left. All right, he's always to the left, too. Never have him on the right. It's always the left. All right, so I had to print off my FanDuel. Cannot forget my FanDuel today. I got to come out of the gate with my FanDuel.
Now, how is my... Yes, my voice is sounding good. I don't want any hint of my voice being rough because I...
God damn, there's Marie Osmond in that tight fucking spray-on red dress. God damn it. I think I'm always just going to be a weird, sick fuck. Let's see, what else is up, man?
Now, I don't want my voice, Phil, sounding like any...
Oh, yeah. Saturday night at the Jack Black Festival Supreme, I will be on stage with members of the Drunk History past and present narration crew. In other words, there'll be people up there who narrated different episodes of Drunk History. And I think they'll be on stage separately. Then I'll have my moment in the sun and I'll do my thing. And I think in talking to Derek, we want to do a similar thing to what I do on stage anyway, which is to go in and out of character. So it would be something along the lines of, here we are in Drunk History. Now, Margaret Gray, who is part of our show, Margaret...
I didn't approve of this. I didn't think this was a good idea. I didn't think this was a good idea. I thought this was a bad idea because you vomited...
No, you didn't have to say that.
Well, I'm saying it, Phil. You vomited... quite profusely into the back of a limousine. God.
I didn't actually vomit in a limousine, folks. I puked when I got I puked when I got home in my very own toilet. But got close, man. I'll tell you that. I'll tell you that much. It got close because I remember laying down and just crashing, man. I was asleep through most of the fucking ride home. The dude who was driving the car must have been told, you know, hey, listen, these cats are just fucked up drunk, you know. And it must have been like the weirdest gig this cat ever had, the guy driving the car. It must have been just like intergalactic. Like, what the fuck is this, man? You know, this dude is like hammered. And, you know, I don't know how many Drunk History narrators this guy had been, you know, transporting back and forth. But, it must have been pretty strange, and I hope like hell that the people had told him, you know, you're going to be driving a guy home who's going to be really inebriated because he just did a show where he gets really fucking drunk and talks about shit. But let be that as it may, I got into the car and I passed out. I always think passing out means you're like you faint, you know, like you're not aware of going to sleep. No, I was aware of laying down. I decided I'll lay down and I'll sleep, you know, for the ride home. Well, that was all well and good until about, I would say, 6 or 7 miles from my front door. And that's when I got up and sat up straight. They just showed that guy Vickers walking down the hallway with a fucking piece. You know, I don't know what he was holding there, but this guy was in his fucking tuxedo. He was in that. Anyway, so I'll get to it in a minute. Poor soldier that was murdered at that war memorial. Just fucked up. Why don't they give those kids some fucking bullets, okay? What's the story, man? What are you, crazy? Get fucking real. Although I'm sure the military has advised them, you know. So anyway, I laid down on the seat. 6 or 7 miles from my front door, I awoke. And I did the thing that I shouldn't have done. I don't know whether or not this is something you really shouldn't do, or has it just affected me? I sat up. And the minute I sat up, I went, oh, fuck, this ain't, oh, fuck, I feel like shit, man. It wasn't that I, you know, had felt like shit when I was laying down. I felt fine when I was laying down. I felt rest. I was sort of rested, not much, but, you know, a little bit of the edge of the complete inebriation had worn off. And there I was sitting up, and I went, holy fuck. And then I laid back down. Well, those two things became the beginning of the end for me, because getting up and then laying down, my inner ear wasn't catching up, you know, and what's going to happen to your ass? Well, I mean, dude, you're not going to feel too boogie woogie. So I was like, oh, and I was really sick, man, and barely got it home. And the guy even overshot my house. I'm no, you got to go back. Just go back, because that was where I thought that was the tipping point. Fuck, he overshot the house. Now I am going to puke. But he backed up. I got out of the car. Thank you very much. And I split, man. I didn't bother to sign shit. I didn't bother to do shit. I didn't even take my phone with me. I didn't even take my wallet with me. I mean, I had to call later. I called and I messaged the production offices and everybody at Drunk History. I said, dude, I left my phone and my wallet in the car. Left my phone and my wallet in the car. Please have the driver. And to this man's credit, bless his heart, he turned right around, came back, and dropped the stuff off at the house. So I was, you know, very, very grateful. But when I got home and I got into the house and went up the stairs, it was just like, you know, talking to Ralph on the big white phone, like they say, Brieg. And that's where that was at. So now cut to this coming Saturday night at Festival Supreme. We'll be a part of a Drunk History presentation that our good close personal friend Derek Waters is going to be showing. And Derek is going to be showing some behind the scenes. I don't know what he's going to be showing, man, but then we're going to comment on whatever the fuck we comment on. That's as good as it gets for me. That's just all I know, you know. Maybe I'll give Derek a call later and try to figure out. I think I'm clear on it, you know. I'm not too concerned. The next Wednesday night is our live show at Ontario, and do get tickets now if you haven't. And then we're off and running for the next, really the next month, as we put together a number of things for this television idea that I've had and that I'm in concert with others on. Sometime in December, we're going to be doing a road trip for real. I thought we'd be in Hawaii in November. Not a fucking chance. I don't know when we're going to get to Hawaii. I don't know when we're going to get to Hawaii. I think it's good. We're going to be breaking our fucking asses. And I think that probably January. I was in Hawaii in January. I was in Maui in January. It was fucking fantastic. I loved it. So maybe we'll do the same thing. Take the remote equipment. Do the do. Go to Hawaii, man, for a week. We'll see, man. You know, we'll just see. But onward and upward, you know, just keep pushing. Keep pushing. Keep humping. Keep going. Keep going. Keep pushing. Keep humping. Keep go. All right, so let's do some news.
Ah, fuck.
All right, I got that done. Let me get that out of here.
Done a lot of shit just to live this here lifestyle.
Everything is Canada, and, you know, bless their heart, man. You know, my father was in the Canadian military, as you guys know. He was in the Irish Regiment. They fought in World War II, World War I. Canada really lost a lot of its youth in World War I. World War I was brutal on Canada. Canada had a very, very big commitment of soldiers. Not that they didn't in World War II, but, you know, you lose a generation of soldiers in one war. It kind of takes a while to get that churn back up again, man, because here comes another fucking war. But the Canadians have always thrown in big time when it comes to that. And in Italy, there are cemeteries honoring the Canadian war dead. In France, there are cemeteries honoring the Canadian war dead, and so forth. So those guys have never, you know, when push comes to shove, and I know that everybody was really upset with Canada over the Iraq war. Iraq was a controversial war that nonetheless had to be fought, because I really do. I mean, the war was coming to our asses whether we liked it or not. The big thing that people like to say is that had it not been for Bush's missteps, there wouldn't be an ISIS, there wouldn't be this terror threat, there wouldn't be this Are you kidding? I guess they had been asleep over the last 30, 40 fucking years when there was nothing but terrorism. It hadn't reached America, but I would simply say that the terrorism that reached America on 9/11 was before any fucking troops were on the ground in the Middle East, man. Except maybe for the peacekeeping Marines. That was a peacekeeping mission, these Marines in Lebanon. Threat to break isolation in Liberia over food. Threat to break isolation. 2014 series. Perez Infante helped Royals bounce back.
I have a problem. Thank you, Phil. Thank you, Phil.
That just doesn't sound real. I got to figure out how to make a Skype sound.
Thank you very much, Phil.
Well, I have Skype. I don't know, man. I don't know. ISIS teens, how their plan unraveled.
Right. Well, this is something that was a part of... Yes, this is something that was a part of...
What did you do? What did you do then?
Well, what we did then was we attempted to...
Do you have Skype down there, man?
No, we do not have Skype. No, I don't have Skype. Yes, I'm on Skype. Hello, Phil.
Hello, Phil. And good morning.
Good morning.
So you are on Skype?
Yes, I'm on Skype. Fuck, how many times I gotta tell you that? yes, I am on Skype.
Jesus. Girls skipped school, boarded a flight. ISIS teens, how their plan unraveled. Are they kidding? I guess there's always going to be a place for kids that are unhappy, for kids that don't feel they have a home, for kids that don't think they have a place to live and be happy. There's always going to be a place for them to go, some place where they're going to be exploited sexually, exploited militarily. Good God, who knows what would have happened to those girls when they got down to fucking the Middle East? You know, forget it. Fuck it. Forget it. Where's this guy at anyway? Is there scaffolding around the national thing?
It looks like it to me, Phil. I'm here in Kansas City, but I do see that.
Oh, yeah. Let's see what's going on here, man. There's the World Series last night. Watched some of this game. Didn't see a whole lot of it, but saw enough. I saw enough to be very sickened and concerned for the Giants. Now, I mean, it's, you know, good for the Royals, but, Christ, they beat the fucking shit out of the, they beat the shit out of the goddamn San Francisco Giants last night. Fuck. One other thing, man, that happened last night. Before I hit the sack last night, I was having some toast, you know. I just decided to make some toast. And I got these pieces of toast, put a little bit of butter on them, and I'm eating these, and I'm watching TV. And suddenly, you know, I start to cough because I can feel there's pieces of toast in my throat. Next thing I know, there's like a piece of fucking toast wedged in my throat, and I'm doing one of these. Like that. And I was, holy fuck, I've got something lodged in my fucking throat. And I'm like, like that. And I'm thinking, now, wait a second. While this is happening, I'm trying to figure out how am I going to breathe and figure out how to get this out of my throat, okay? Like that. I quickly realize, just to kind of slow down and not breathe in as hard, just kind of take a slower breath instead of like that. And then the next thing I thought was, now this is fucking bread, so it can't possibly be that, it can't possibly be that significant a piece of, you know, a blockage of an obstruction. I can cough it out of there. And so I really started to just get as much air in my lungs as I could and hack, you know, and cough as hard as I could. And meanwhile, it's like that. So, but when I slowed my breathing down to, I started to get more air, and I was freaked out, man, because I was remembering one time someone, I think it was Maria when I was married, before we got married, she had a piece of carrot stuck in her throat. She had to go to the emergency room, but that wasn't so much the bad part as was she was having a hard time breathing through it all. So I'm thinking, I got to be able to get this out of my throat. You know, I got to be able to get this out of my windpipe because it can't be, as I said, that significant a blockage. So I'm like, so I start to just coughing, getting as much air as I could. And it finally did dislodge. Or I swallowed it. I don't remember. All I remember is I just, you know, kept hacking. And I realized that there was a lot of fucking crumbs and shit. I don't know what. I must have been eating this fucking toast like a madman. Just. Because it was suddenly this, you know, this, like I said, this obstruction. When you go to get a deep breath of air, and this is what happens, and you realize you're not able to take a deep, good, healthy breath of air, and that's what you're hearing, like that, you are at a moment of truth, my friend. You know, you really are. You're at a moment of truth. What do I do? There's nobody here, you know, I got to do something here. So the first thing I did is figure out how I could get air without going like that. And I realized just slow it down, take the breath in slower. And that worked. And then cough this motherfucker out. So it was taking the breath slower, cough the motherfucker out. Take in the breath slower, cough the motherfucker out. Take in the breath slower, cough the motherfucker out. Take in the breath slower, cough the motherfucker out. And sure enough, that happened. But it's fucked up, man. You don't want that shit. No, no, no. You don't want that at all. Let's tell you that right now. Herb Sewell here, Phil. And, well, I think that how lone wolves are radicalized. I don't want to keep using Herb Sewell.
Well, I would be concerned about this. I don't know. Yes.
Phil, let me... would you mind, Margaret, not butting in?
I'm not butting in. I don't understand.
Well, this is important for us because... Well, this is very important for us because we... This is very important for us because we do feel that our young boys are being targeted, you know.
Well, they're being targeted for what?
They're being targeted for the radicalizations. You don't understand, do you? Oh, my God, that's really...
Canadian PM to Parliament, we will not run scared. We will not run scared.
This is very important. We don't want the radicalization.
Done a lot of shit just to live hit this here lifestyle.
Have more work to do this afternoon. Got to go into L.A. Yet again for an extended period. So we'll probably just have a one-hour show today as well. I apologize for that. That's just kind of how things are going. I'm gonna add a Sunday podcast, but I don't know what it's gonna be about. We're gonna continue with my audio biography that's gonna be happening on Saturday, and this is our BSP only show. It's just I don't mean to sound corny, but I really mean this. It's kind of a gift to you guys who are backstage pass guys, and. My way of saying thank you very much for being with us, being a part of our BSP family, and it's my biography, it's my story, and it's going to be ongoing. We've done two installments. This weekend will be the third. I covered a lot of my early life in the first two. This next one will be from age six forward. And there's even a lot that I really didn't include in the first two. Not really a lot, but what I did concentrate on in the first two were the significant moments in the first 6 years of my life. Now this next one and the next few will be about my early baby steps into school and our family as my father began to rise through the ranks financially. My dad became successful as a salesman. I think when you say successful, it's kind of relative, but he made a fuck of a lot of money, let's put it that way, beginning in around 1959, 1960. And it was at that time that the family moved to a bigger house in Upper Arcadia. Yes. All right, time now to get back to it. And welcome to our tune-in listeners, and welcome to our Listen Live people. We are back live here on our world-famous Phil Henry Show feed at Listen Live and at TuneIn. A couple of announcements I want to make. I want to stress on the program today the BSP-only show that we do on Saturday, and we want to tell you about what's coming up this weekend at Festival Supreme on Saturday night. I'm going to be very, very proudly on stage there with our drunk history brother, Derek Waters, and other members of the narration crew. And then we have, of course, our one-man show in October. And the announcement was made yesterday about the animation show that I've been involved in, so we'll tell you about that as well. So that's where that's at. Phil Henry Show.